support your ministry. So if you're in the middle of that track and you're in my city, please contact me. If you're out of my city and you need to figure out what do you need to do quickly to get this up and running and get something working so you can be communicating, because you got an iPad and you've been stuck on the iPad in the telephone world when we've been trying to tell you to get out of that world a long time, but you're there, contact us. I've got a webinar training that's going to train churches how to be able to do stuff in the postmodern generation to help you. I'm here to help you. Now, that may sound like I'm fussing a little bit, but I want to help churches get into the modern day world. I see a lot of y'all are signing on. This is Tuesday night. I'm live. I'm here. But we want to talk about what's going on with churches in my city. The mayor of our city made national news as he called for a closure of churches, restaurants. They put a 50-person cap. The 250 cap no longer exists. A 50 cap is there. And so that's affected a lot of churches, a lot of groups. The Catholic Church in Europe has been closed down. The Vatican has been shut down. Never in the history, even during the bubonic plague, was the Catholic Church closed, but the doors of the church has been closed. Now, what do we do? And the culture we're living in, with the doors of our churches around the world being closed, and how do churches function? And so we want to talk about that. We've got some guests that are here today. They're telling me that the phone line wasn't working, but I guess it's back up. You got it working now, sir? Okay. And so they're getting ready to call in. I've got a local pastor that's going to tell me what's going on. He pastors in Tampa. He's a pastor in Florida. And so I've got him calling in. He's going to talk to me about what they're experiencing. Right before that happens, the number is ringing busy still. Right before that happens, while we're trying to get that together, let's hear what our mayor said today in Jacksonville.
Businesses and patrons facilitating events and gatherings of massive amounts of people. Bars and restaurants filled to capacity or beyond may be good for the bottom line in the short run, but they are sending the wrong message about this crisis. As I said on social media platforms, the crisis will become catastrophic if we have a surge of cases inundate our healthcare systems. In Jacksonville, people must not allow more than that number, 50, in their establishment. This follows guidelines released by the Center for Disease Control. Also, if you sell alcohol, no sales can occur from the hours of midnight to 8 a.m. The only exception to these limits will be grocery stores, but we are strongly encouraging them to maintain extra cleaning hygienic standards and work to prevent lines forming inside or outside of stores. Churches, same compliance requirements of 50 or more people, but I strongly urge you to go digital. We know these decisions will cause economic difficulties for many in our community. We're working with state and federal partners to find solutions of those impacted. We learned yesterday from federal partners working with the Florida Department of Health in Jacksonville will be a site for drive-up testing. It will take the next few days to set things up, and we'll have more announcements at that time. We're working to rapidly implement that. In addition, the city is exploring options with our local hospitals on even more testing capacity. We will make those announcements as more details arise. With that, we'll take questions.
Mayor, I guess a lot of questions are doing with 50 or more people. Does that include other businesses besides bars, restaurants, and churches, like, say, a big establishment that has a lot of people?
It includes anything that does not involve our food supply. So grocery, in an accident or something unknown happens to you, you may not get treatment.
Well, are you prepared to make it stricter, though?
Yes. Yes. This could go further.
We have businesses, like, say, malls, places like that, manufacturing businesses that have a lot more than 50 people in there. Are you saying that they have to close and only allow
50? If they have a certificate of occupancy, of 50 or more, 50 is the limit.
Like at a mall?
50 is the limit.
So basically businesses
50 is the limit.
Are shutting down.
50 is the limit.
Is that going to be a problem?
50 is the limit. Look, I have a responsibility to the people of this county and this city to take this seriously, to use data and what's happened in other countries and other parts of even our country, and react. And react according to what health experts tell us to do. That's what this action is about, the health and safety of the people of Duval County.
Numbers have changed over the weekend drastically. What do we have here in Duval County? How many cases now? Where do we stand?
What's our final, what's our up-to-date?
Department of Health says four.
Four?
They're reporting.
Department of Health says four, but realize now, as hospitals, the governor said this yesterday as well, as they begin doing their own testing, there will be people that will get positives that the hospitals will know, and those individuals will know even before we know.
Do we know anything about transmission yet for those four? Do we know if they've traveled? Do we know that they pick it up here? Do we know anything? Do you mind stepping up to the mic?
You know, this is obviously a very fluid situation, and as these cases are confirmed by CDC or Department of Health, as numbers are reported, there's also a cycle for when they get reported. So although they're officially reporting four, they're also aware of additional cases, probably another three that will show up in the numbers either that are reported out this morning or later this evening.
Chief Powers, may we have an update on the five firefighters that transported the initial patient that we had?
Yeah, I just checked on them a few minutes ago, and they're all good with no symptoms, feeling good, ready to come back to work, just waiting on their 14 days to end.
Do we know if this is communal, how is this being transmitted here? Is it communal? Is it traveling?
So we're starting internally to plan for that. Our plans are starting to change this morning. That could be occurring, and that's how we're adjusting our plans to make sure that we're able to provide the community, you know, the safest thing possible, but keep our, you know, first responders safe as well. So that is being considered now.
Have we had any transmission here through the community? Do we know that yet? Even one of those cases?
Yeah, we're not aware of any.
Mayor Curry, can you talk to us a little bit more about the drive-through testing? What's the timeline for that for our city?
We should have something set up by the end of the week. Is that?
You heard what's going on in my city. Not only is this going on in my city, it's going on in cities across the nation where people are saying the very same thing. I'm getting reports of people that are saying the very same thing. Will you place the call, the number? It's 516-590-0135. Is that correct? Okay. 516-590-0135. Is he on? All right. Pastor, sorry to have so much trouble, doctor.
That's all right. I'm here now.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Now, you're in Tampa. As a pastor, you're pastoring a church. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you're feeling. What's the plight of pastors around the nation? Tell me what you're feeling, man.
I think that there is the rationalization between faith and logic and what to do in moments like this. You want to have faith, and you want to make sure that you're providing hope and inspiration for your members, for your parishioners, but you also want to listen to those professionals of medical science. And so there's a lot of hysteria, panicking because of the unknown. And because of this virus, because of how quickly it is spreading, it has a lot of people in a position that they've never been in. It was not like this for the Ebola crisis. It was not like this in state of emergencies for hurricanes. This is doing something different that we have not seen in over 100 years. Yesterday, the New York Stock Exchange had its worst day in history. This is spanning over a century of time in which the New York Stock Exchange has existed. So for us as a pastor, I wanted to make sure that I was hearing the pulse of the people and that I was not making a decision based on what I thought, but I assembled my board members, I assembled our leaders together and say, what do we need to do? It is so close to home to where I have a senior member that is in quarantine, that have taken the test, waiting for the results because they was next to someone that perhaps have the coronavirus. And so they've been to church. And so now if they test positive, then I have to look at myself and my family. So this weighs a little different. So what we've done, we have suspended all of our face-to-face interaction for our services. For the next 2 weeks, the president has recommended social distancing for 15 days. Today is day 14. And so all of our services will be streamed online, our midweek services as well as our Sunday morning services. So persons will still know we're giving words of inspiration and hope, but we want them to take care of themselves, to look after their families, and to make sure they're using wisdom. Me choosing to not have service doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual. It doesn't mean that I'm not saved. It doesn't mean that I don't have the Holy Ghost. It's me being wise. Is me having wisdom for the people that I pastor. So that's what we're doing. There's a lot of hysteria. I'm blessed that we have some elected officials in our church, and so we receive information that may not be public knowledge, and so I believe this is the right choice that we needed to make.
Well, let's deal with the economics. So how are churches, what are some of the ideas that you're recommending to churches? I mean, from an economic standpoint, of course, many people are in situations where if they don't have church, the people don't tithe, they don't give, they still have to pay staff members. I heard Bishop Von McLaughlin, not throwing him under the bus, talk about a $16 million a year budget today. I've heard other pastors talking about $21 million a year budget, that they're midways, that they have over 400 people on staff. Of course, we don't have that many people on staff at the church. I have tons of people across the country that's on staff for our schools. I have 91 schools in the United States and 16 in foreign countries. So that's a huge payroll, a huge budget, and there are people
sure,
that are
sure.
because of these things. What is some of your ideas? What are some of the creative? You're old school, but you're a millennial pastor, even though you're old school. So what are some of the ideas that you're suggesting to these guys that don't have deep pockets, don't have old money, don't have $250 or $1.3 million in the bank? What do you do in those kinds of times?
Well, great question. There are a couple of things to put into perspective that all of us would take some type of hit. I don't think that anyone will go unscathed to where they don't take some type of hit to where it is affecting them. This is what I suggest. Those churches that may be smaller and may not have a digital presence, that they make sure that they're downloading digital applications for their members to download and to give that way. I think the majority of Americans who have cell phones, they have smartphones, so they have the capability of going to their Android and their iPhone stores and downloading the necessary apps for giving. So that's number one. Number two, I encourage any pastor, no matter what state that they're in, to apply for the small business grant that is given through many states. I think that is very important. That is not exempting. Just because a church is a nonprofit, it doesn't mean that it's not a business. Not all businesses are for profit. And so I know in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis is offering $50,000 for those organizations who do have payroll, a $50,000 loan, up to $50,000, 0% interest, and you don't have to pay it back for another year. And so this is an opportunity for churches to do that, especially if they have a for-profit side, maybe perhaps a school or something else. This is an opportunity to bring that in and then utilize those platforms for digital media to share with the members the importance of making sure that they are part of the vision and partnership, that they're keeping the vision going. This is when your leaders come in and they inject that message to all of the members, because there are some people that pastors cannot get to, and we have to be honest about that. They may be closer to a deacon. They may be closer to a leader. So we'll assemble our leaders, make sure they're on board, then they're talking to someone, and then that person is talking to someone to make sure that the finances of the church are going on. And this also is a lesson to teach churches that we cannot be so staff heavy to where we don't have savings, that everything that we have, we're pushing it back into staff and pushing it back into budgeting. This is a lesson to learn that we all need to have reserves at least 3 months in the bank. Now, that's not easy, but this also prompts us to have an entrepreneurial spirit beyond all of this to make sure that we're producing multiple streams of income, that if something like this was to happen again, we would not be affected because we've already prepared for something like this. We have contingency plans in our workplaces. We have to do it for the church as well.
What's crazy is some of them thought that daycares and some of their other things would facilitate or extracurricular things that they did, and those things are being shut down as well. So one of the things that I want to recommend to pastors, and for especially when you're pastoring a much older congregation and that they're not tech savvy, one of the things I recommend is a conference call line. There are some that, that have Uber Conference. It's a wonderful one. It allows them to dial a local number. Your members trying to punch that long digit number, they're not going to do that. They have a direct number they can call in. That thing runs $15 a month. So you can actually talk, hear your members exchange rather than just for social media. Many pastors need to switch to that for their Bible study. And you can have hundreds of people on your conference call in a more intimate way. They can ask questions. You can exchange. Someone's waiting to get in. You can exchange. You can talk with them. And let them know the need. Church meetings can be done in that format. It is highly important that you engage in a personal. The danger of doing only social media is that they're able to eat without exchanging with you, without fellowship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Without hearing.
Absolutely.
So I'm recommending pastors go back to the chat line, that that conference call line, those things that you've gotten more modernized and you're so tech savvy. I'm tech savvy. We've got the ability to broadcast in our church at HD 4K quality, and sometimes we have the ability to do it and to stream and me to go in and preach and all of those kind of things. Connect singers that are at home to our worship singers, so the singer ain't got to even be here. They can sing from home. We've got the technology to do that. But listen to me, there is nothing like the personability of being involved in exchanging, those amens, those people are saying, the words blessing us, the communication of people being able, those prayer lines. It's important that you develop a morning prayer line. These are things that are important. Now, but you said something. The other thing is the investment portfolio, and churches really need to get involved in trading. Now, I'm not talking about the stock market, but I'm talking about the currency market. The currency is doing some crazy things right now. Bitcoin, some of those things, fiat money, all of those things are tangible things with a little bit of resources that you've got that you need to consider investing. I'm definitely not investing in the stock market. I'm definitely not talking stock market right now. The market is too crazy. But I want you to download, listen to me, or listen to an audiobook on cryptocurrency and learn as much as you can in this market. Some of you've got a few thousand dollars to play with. And if you do it right, and we can show you and plug you with some group that you can turn $1,000 into $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $30,000 to ride through this particular storm. So I want us to be very savvy. Now you need to advise and talk with your deacons and your trustees, and y'all are in agreement with this. But many of you are home, so the ability to trade and do those things are very possible and palatable right now. What I don't want you to do is I don't want you to take the little bit of money you've got, hold on to it, and just keep nibbling it off until it's all gone. Because when it's gone, what do? That's even towards you. This is not just churches. Maybe you've got $500, and that's all you got. You got your check. This is a great time for you to consider these kind of unconventional investments. If you're interested in, I want you to call us. I can connect you with groups that are investment groups. I'm not necessarily saying endorsing any group. I can give you a list of possible ones, But download the book. Learn for yourself. If this is the time you got all the spare time, turn off them shows that you look at. I want you to learn cryptocurrency. This is the wave of the future. Prophets have been saying to us that hard money is on the way out, but currency is changing. The days of brick and mortar is changing. Stores that are brick and mortar will not exist maybe after this particular issue. The JCPenney's, the Sears, all of those kind of stores, they're hanging on by a thread right now. So many of them after this storm will not exist. So you've got to think. One of the things I stated to him is you got to adjust to the new norm. There is a new norm coming, and it doesn't work the same way. Listen to me. This is an optimal time for you to emphasize the love of God evangelism. Ready. Also, Pastor, small groups. Has he hung up? Small groups. Small groups. I can't read. I can't read that. Is he hung up? He's still on?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Small groups. Pastors, your cell groups. You can have groups of 10 that are meeting through your church. They're meeting in homes. Divide your church up into cell groups. Have cell group captains collect the offering from those particular groups. Cell groups are very important, where they are ministering to each other, that people are getting the bonds. And then secondly, those cell groups ought to be ministering to our seniors and concerned about making sure that the seniors that are in those houses, that they have food and they're being checked on. Because many seniors are not sick, but they can't get out, and they're afraid because they're in a high-risk category like never before. So it's time for those deacons, those missionaries, those Christian workers, those people that are involved that say they call to the nation. Well, you call to the nation. Be called to your backyard. Be called to your own community. And so these are ways for the church to become effective and ready, still do what you need to be able to do. Imagine if your cell group ministry evolved at your church and you explode with this. This is stuff we've been needing to do, and it explodes. Imagine the power of a church of 500, and you've got 50 cell groups that's been birthed out of this as a result of that, and they're working. You've built a strong church. The parachurch network in Korea and all other parts of the world is amazing because there's strength in parachurch networks. So we've got the facet. Now, the prophecy has been coming that the megachurch will not exist the way it's been. Now, that's what the prophets have been prophesying for some time now. Now, I'm not saying the megachurch, brace yourself, calm yourself down, Pastor. I'm not saying that your megachurch is gone. But what we once saw as mega is going to go through a metamorphosis. Now, with that being said, working a parachurch network quickly is a very important way of saying, okay, we're going to divide our church up into groups. You stay on the west side. 10 people are going to meet here. 5 people are going to meet here. Y'all going to meet amongst each other, have prayer, go over scriptures. The pastor will email the outline. You get in there, do your video, send it out to people. If you have trouble with that, contact people like me. Contact Jeff, Dr. Jeff. A modern, pastors that are up to speed with technology. And if you are one of those, ready, let's do a smorgasbord. Let's do a melting pot. Let's preachers come together and let's talk some creative ideas. And listen to me, let's not get a reputation of putting people at risk to line the pockets of the church. I'm going to say that again. Let's not get the I'm not saying, and ready, shutting the doors down is not for everybody. God may not be leading you to do that, but you need to take extreme precautions. I mean, I need you spraying doors. I need spacement. Everyone can't sit beside each other. Space them out. Some of you've got to do what you got to do to ensure that the people that God's called you is covered and protected. Pastor, anything on that you want to comment that I said or you think was processed?
Yeah, I don't think that any of that needs additional commentary. You explained it extremely well. I would just say prophetically, with this pandemic called COVID-19, coronavirus, it is showing us the difference between preachers and pastors. Not all preachers are pastors, but all pastors are preachers. There's a difference. There are some that have ran in the pulpit because they had an amazing gift to preach and not pastor. And this pandemic is uncovering all of that, how folk really take care of their sheep, their seniors, their loved ones. This is going to be telling. So I'm encouraging those who are pastors, even my pastors that's a part of our organization. I'm asking you to take the time, get on the phone, making sure you're training leaders and small group leaders, that they are developing those small groups or 8 to 10 people, and they're shepherding them and they're reporting back to you. This is a time as never before that people need to be touched with a pastoral touch. The mega church, it has done its great advantages and its time, but in this time, people really need to be touched. And they may not be able to be touched by their pastor, but they need to be touched by someone who's connected to their pastor. So this pandemic is going to show the difference between the preachers and the pastors, those who are real shepherds.
You identified something, and I'm almost out of time, but listen to me. You identified the one thing that we've got to do. It's touch the people. Get on the phone,
yes,
call them, check on them, let them know what's going on, and have your leaders doing that and making sure that people are not left out. Listen to me. What I've got is on tomorrow morning, some of you are out there and you don't know what you're going to do financially. I've got a special conference call line. You're looking for a way, an opportunity. You're looking for some kind of way how to financially ride through this storm. I've got a special group of people that I'm going to, that if you will call in, I will share with you some tools. This is not something I want to share with everybody. I want to share with you some tools that will help you weather this storm. Inbox me. They're going to put the number on the screen. I'm going to do it in the morning, and I'm going to do it in the evening. I want to help you weather this financial storm. If you need a job, if you need money, if you need income coming in these times, I want you to call me. I have a way. This is not no multi-level marketing or any of those kind of things. I have a proven way that will help you be able to survive during this crisis. What I want you to do is I want you to call me tomorrow morning at this number. It's a conference call line. I'm going to be talking with you. I'm only going to be on there for about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and I'm going to talk to you and share with you some things you can do that will put you in a financial position, in a great financial position in these times. Things are coming. Changes are happening. The economy is crazy, but there is hope out there. Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you again, and I've got to go. There is hope. All hope is not lost. I'm telling you, if you listen to me right, if you're a pastor and you can't afford a salary, you need to call me. If you're a mom and pop and you need a trying to figure out how you're going to make it tomorrow, Wednesday, the day is Tuesday, at 11 o'clock, you need to be on that line. Eastern Standard Time. Don't call me Central Time. I won't be on there at 11. I will be on the Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to show you how to regain and make it through the storm. There's 451 people. There's been hundreds of people across the nation. You know why they're on? Because people want to know what to do. The nation is crying, and there's hope. Listen to me. I've got to go. I'm out of time. Definitely not out of what to say. My Cash App. My team put it on there. Please donate. Won't you make a seed and sow into information? We're training and teaching and helping people and telling you about what we're doing. Sow into this. Makes it. This high-end productionary stuff isn't cheap. We do it well. We do it with excellence. And I want to make sure that we're training. If you got anything out, wait, you got two callers. Come on. Let me take these callers. Callers, come on in. Hello? Caller? Welcome to the Deeper Look broadcast. Caller? All right. Can you go to the next caller? Caller, this is Dr. Jackson.
Good evening, Bishop.
How you doing today?
All is well. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Pastor Frank?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm up here in the Atlanta metro area. Some of the clergy up here in the response to this pandemic, just to give you a kind of idea of reference, I literally was able to drive through downtown Atlanta at 5 o'clock this evening at 60 miles an hour. So that tells you a ton. I know you're running out of time. I just wanted to add one element that a lot of people are overlooking, and as a church, we really need to get heavily involved in. And you talked about those people who call to the nations. We really need your help right now. The homeless population is extremely, extremely at risk. Not only are they're at risk to continue transmission. So we're working up here in Atlanta to get places, to get the homeless into places that they too can quarantine themselves. To help to slow the transmission of the virus. You guys have pretty much covered like everything there is to cover about a lot of things that I wanted to say when I got on. But it's a very serious deal, and you know you've got the answer right there in Chrome Media to a lot of what we need to kind of be focusing on to support ourselves through this pandemic. We are in a changing global economy. We are becoming an introverted society, and I think this may be the crux. This really may be the turning point. I don't think we're ever going to recognize the America that we knew prior to this pandemic, and we really need to get focused on changing our focus and our ideology as to how we earn money and do church, do the normal things that we do as society in gathering. And this cell idea is also something that we're working on, Your Grace, up here in the Atlanta area, with getting captains to put together small groups in their homes and asking for 10 or less, of course, and then putting together media so that those things can be connected and doing weekly services through things like Skype and other things. And you guys all mentioned all this stuff, so I won't belabor the time with any of that. Just wanted to let you know that there's a ton of work going on around the country, and those who you raised and trained up, sir, are running around the nation doing what we can do, doing our part, and giving a national platform to do that.
Well, one of the things that I'm very grateful is that I've trained a lot of ministries across the nation with media, and hopefully they've caught the vision of doing the service of God's people and serving God's people. We're at a unique time in the church. Put the other number up, if you will. But I think that there are a lot of churches in Atlanta. It's a church haven. I can only imagine what's going on there. And them being shut down and many of them not being able to operate and open. So we're at a unique position. I've been talking with pastors across the country, and they've been asking me, what are my opinions? What's going on, Doc? And they've texted me, and I've gotten calls, and they're worried. I mean, they're shaking in their boots. And don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I have an amazing budget. I mean, with 91 schools and 16 out of the country, and pastoring a local church, a plant church, and all of that other stuff, you know, I've got a huge budget as well. And so my concern, and I have to, my concern is you got to be careful about your church staff, that they're not more busy doing the job, that they fail the ministry of what they're doing behind what they're doing, that they lose sight of the ministry aspect, and that they are ministering to the people that are out there, and we're not losing sight. And this is the time we have to let go of our issues with people, our grudges with people that we don't necessarily like and deal with and tolerate, because we're the body of Christ. Pet peeves cannot exist in this season of where we're at. And I encourage pastors, you're Lutheran, work with the Episcopalian, work with the United Methodist, all of those people. I'm going to ask him again to put the number back on the screen that I asked previously. I'm sure that he's jumping on that, but it's the call-in number. And because as we are in a country, people are just frustrated and they're trying to figure out what we're going to do in times like these. And what we're going to do is we're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to be confident Amen. That God is able to keep us. And you know what? This is a time for the church to be seen more so than anything else as the emerging church. We're going to be seen Amen. To be a force to be reckoned with because I think it's taking us back to grassroots. Because some kind of we left grassroots. We got commercial. And this is not a judgment on our technicolor lights and all of the modern things. This is not an indictment. But listen to me. Those people that talked about the churches that did streaming and all of this modern cameras and stuff, now they're scrounging trying to get cameras. mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Those churches were ahead of the game. But listen to me. Let us not remember that technology does not replace personal touch. And you said something about our homeless population. They're tremendous. Do you have any ideas on how we can minister to the homeless population? I mean, the fear is that people may be currently infected, and how do we deal with that? If I got any callers out there, in addition to that, please call in and give your input on that. Go ahead.
That's the dilemma that's being faced all over the place. I'm born in Orlando that's been built for the last 40 years. That might be a good one without them. I'm just joking. But, no, there are utilizing shelters. There's even some talk about utilizing schools, considering the fact that schools are not being utilized for students at this point. So things like gymnasiums, but then the problem with gymnasiums is putting so many people into one area that there's a potential for spread. So the answers are not there. Of course, we're behind the curve with this thing. It's out in front of us on pretty much every level. So it's really just being creative and thinking of creative ideas for the area that you're in. Utilizing properties that are themselves not being currently utilized. Whatever can be thought up. I don't have all the answers. I know that right now we're using some church gymnasiums here. We're using some actual church facilities that are helping to house homeless people. So you know, it's about what you have in your local area and what you can do. One of the other things that I wanted to say, though, was to say in remembering this, we are the United States of America, and the only way that we're going to beat this thing is as a united body. It's a very interesting time considering the political climate that we're in and how divisive that political administration is and how much it's divided us as a people. The Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so I have to look at the silver lining in this. And I think the silver lining in this is that it's going to give us an opportunity to unite as a people around one common cause. When people have a common enemy, it gives them an unusual ability to unite. And so that's the silver lining that I'm looking for in this cloud. But it's just going to require a lot of creative thinking, Bishop. And I don't, you know, needless to say, have all the answers. I don't know if anybody does, but I know we're stronger together. We're definitely stronger together, and if we get in forums like this and start putting our heads together and getting rid of, just as you said a few minutes ago, all of our animosities, dislikes, distrust, whatever it is for each other, and realize that this thing is bigger than us and that through the power of God and the united front is the only chance that we have to confront it successfully as a people. And so having said that,
I think
it's all about – yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you, and I appreciate you. Love you. I can't wait to see you.
And we can't wait for the spirit and the connection in God and your family here at the hospital church. Definitely loves you and here. And so we're praying Godspeed be upon you. Do the work of ministry as you are sojourning out there in Atlanta, letting your light so shine. Appreciate you, man of God.
God bless you, Bishop.
Now, said much, a whole lot's been said. We got to reach our nation. Now, I thought about the seniors. I'm going to be honest with you. I hadn't even thought about the homeless population. I hadn't thought about what are we going to do for the homeless population. I really didn't even think about that. We minister to homeless persons, but I never thought about that because how do they quarantine themselves? I mean, that's a valid question. I mean, anyone got any opinions on that? I know I need to be signing off, and my team probably saying, Doc, we well over time. You know, you're taking this show longer than you should. But I don't have any answers to that. And, you know, I know what we need to do to adjust for the church. But what do we do to do that? I think that churches that have educational facilities, but we don't have hazmat systems and all of those kind of things. And it's so hard now because you don't know if a person has a common cold or they got the corona. I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, someone came to my office and was coughing, and I quickly grabbed my my Lysol and used it and started spraying them down. So we're in some crazy times, y'all. And I believe God. So we've got a really unique position to be in. And so I'm going to look for dialogue, much dialogue. If you're out there, and remember that financially, you need help financially. On tomorrow, he's putting it back up on the screen. On tomorrow, you can call at 11 tomorrow, and at, was it 8, Noah? Is it 11 or 8 tomorrow? You can call. He's putting the number on the screen. 11 o'clock tomorrow. Taking him a little while. He's trying to, that's the wrong one. He's trying, there you go. He's mastering what I mastered early yesterday. I can't believe that I'm ahead of the Noah, the techie guy, on a few things. So he's showing out. Call me on this line tomorrow. And I'm going to talk with some people and hopefully help you figure out how to stabilize your bleeding economic condition. $1,000 is not going to help a lot of us. And some of us, $50,000 will not help us. I mean, some of y'all told my $50,000 to be more than enough. I had some people laughing. But my bills will laugh at 50 grand. I'll take it. But my bills will laugh at 50 grand. Glory! Well, it's been a great day. I've got to go. I want to tell you thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your patronage, and thank you for sharing this across America and people watching us. Remember, when your problems seem to be over your head, you remind the devil that even when they seem to be over your head, they're still under God's feet. We're a United States of America, the man said, the caller called in and said, we're part of the United States, but we as a united church, we've got the power to make things happen because we serve a risen Savior. Let us encourage people. Let us love people. Back in the day, we used to give sugar to people that needed sugar, salt to him that needed salt, and milk and eggs to those that needed milk and eggs. Let us come together as a country and remember that good, fine nature that made us who we were, a united people. We the people of the United States of America. God bless the United States of America. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord shine upon you. His favor be upon your lives. This has been your friend and brother, Bishop Z, coming to you with a state of emergency address, telling you things that we need to do to make us a better country. Have a wonderful day.